With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Minutes from right now, your chance to win tickets to see the Cubs visit the Nats. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan at 1 o'clock. Chris Miles of NBA TV and NBC Sports Washington locally on last night's NBA draft lottery went the opposite of the way Wizards fans were hoping it would. They have the ninth pick. More on that in our Beltway Blitz. We'll also cover the Nats, but let's get started. Craig Hoffman is our Redskins beat reporter. Craig, what's the lay of the land next few weeks in Ashburn? They're off this week, and then OTAs ramp back up when?
They're starting back up this week, I think, actually. And then they open to the media next week. So we have one we go to on Monday, and then we get kind of once a week access for about 3 weeks. And then they actually changed the schedule a little bit this year, Grant, because as you know from being on the beat in the past, they always had that mini camp, and day three pretty much always got canceled. Well, what they did this year was they actually moved mini camp up and put another OTA after that veteran minicamp, because they can have a certain number of OTAs and then one veteran minicamp that's mandatory. So now, in an effort to get guys to stick around, to have better participation, and then ultimately to have all 3 days of minicamp go as maximized as possible and not have the players feel like they're about to have a half day and go home. And when I say home for the summer, they actually moved that up to, I think, the second week in June or the first week in June, and there's an OTA after that. So it's pretty consistent for about the next month.
How does a healthy Colt McCoy change the quarterback picture?
Well, it's another guy in the competition who absolutely could win the job. Colt McCoy in practice is going to be good because he knows the system. It's not live, obviously, and so if he knows where to go and the intensity is not as high as it is on a game on Sunday, you feel like he should be able to operate. By the same token, what makes Colt good is his ability to improvise, and that doesn't happen as much in practice. So he's not as good of a practice player as he may be a game player if he can ever stay healthy in a game. But he's absolutely in the mix for that starting job with Case Keenum and Dwayne Haskins if he's healthy.
Craig, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
You got it. Have a great show.
Baseball time on your Beltway Blitz. Jamal Collier of MLB.com. Jamal, we got to play cleaner. We got to not make mistakes. We got to field the baseball. Just keep not doing any of those things, I guess. Wilmer Defoe drives me out of my mind. Your turn. Phone's not going to cut it. Let me throw old Jamal on hold and see if Dar can work something out.
We bandied that about earlier on. This is a group that's supposed to put the ball in play and pick it up on defense. Third in the league in strikeouts, and they're not playing good defense. You can't do that when you've got to be perfect everywhere else.
Let's try it, Jamal, again. What did you make of that first inning last night? Defoe's mistake turns into four runs.
Yeah, I hope you can hear me a little bit better now. I mean, this team misses Trey Turner. I thought about that a lot. Leading up, obviously, in terms of the rehab assignment, but looking at just the way that the shortstops, so this is obviously Defoe and Keeboom kind of combined, they haven't hit, they haven't fielded very well, and it just kind of left a huge gaping hole, not only in the Nats lineup, but just kind of in the middle of the infield. I think Trey, on his way back here, sometime probably this week or this weekend, just kind of really welcome sight because they really, really had just a gaping hole at shortstop without him.
Jamal, two-part question here. Why are they striking out so much, and why is the offense gone so dormant, and did Game of Thrones earn Daenerys' heel turn?
The striking out, or as far as the offense, I could say this, that they've got the – obviously they were banged up for a while, and they still have a couple of key guys out at first base and such. I think you see Rendon and Soto, the guys who didn't have rehab assignments, are kind of still figuring their way out to kind of getting back to full strength. It's kind of hurting them right now. I mean, when you have Roberto Parra hitting fifth, your lineup playing first base, I just think it's difficult to have a really good lineup. This is a team that also has a bunch of guys who are just going to strike out a lot. I think that, as much as Davey and everybody preaches contact, this team is just going to be built to strike out a little bit. And I can give you a whole other 30 minutes on Game of Thrones and heel turn, but the short answer is I wish we had more time to build up to it.
Jamal, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
See you, pal.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Let's get to the draft lottery. Nick Ashew, NBC Sports Washington, and of course here at 106.7, the Fan, one of our own. Nick, the 9th pick for the Wizards. I wish we didn't see this coming.
Yay.
The only person who saw it coming was Danny, who, of course, did his usual rant on Twitter. By the way, we talked about your tweet last night on DC Sports Live because it was just such a Danny moment. Look, they had 3 times the odds to get the number 1 pick and the number 9 pick. Like, that's how bad it was. I'm going to say this, though. If you're looking at it just from an NBA perspective, this was great TV, like, except for the fact that they did the whole let's talk about Zion the whole time. I didn't actually watch that part. We only had the monitors on because I was doing the show for NBC Sports Washington, and apparently that's all they did was talk about Zion. But when you're actually seeing the picks revealed and the odds are now more smoothed out than they were before, taking away the fact that the Wizards dropped to number 9, just looking at what we actually had, teams jumping up in this excitement, knowing that it's been different than before, this is what the NBA wanted. But yeah, I mean, if you're the Wizards, you're going to have to decide at this number 9 spot whether you want a player that's going to contribute maybe more right away but not have as much upside, or possibly take a player that's a little more raw or has a little more questions but more in terms of potential. Like, if Cam Reddish drops them at number 9, I don't think he will, but if he does, there are questions in terms of the way that he played at Duke, how aggressive he was, his desire to be a great player, things like that. But you've seen the talent that's there.
Yeah, it's before workouts and interviews and everything else. But who might be available? I mean, it's a lot of Jackson Hayes, Asir Little, Bol Bol, Bruno Fernando, a French guy I've never seen play. I mean, it's not the pick of the litter here, right?
We did an initial, like, first glance mock draft last night after it was revealed. And I put Darius Garland to them at number 9, the point guard out of Vandy. Now, there's a good chance he's off the board way before that. He's a weird situation because he's considered a top 5 talent. But he's got that knee injury that a lot of people go, I don't know, we didn't see a lot of him in college. If he falls to the Wizards at number 9, which is certainly a possibility, depends on if Chicago or Phoenix wants to take him over, let's say, a Kobe White, if they're looking for a point guard, there's an opportunity for him there. Brandon Clark's not a flashy name, but he's somebody that could be a 10-year pro, getting him out of Gonzaga. So there's certainly opportunities for players that can contribute to this team. But look, if you're not in the top 3 of this, you know, it just, the drop-off is tremendous after the top 3 picks, guys.
Nick, thank you, sir. We appreciate you.
You're very handsome.
Anytime, guys.
Great-looking guy.
Love your face.
That is your Beltway Blitz. No Zion Williamson to the Wiz. They will pick 9th. Last night went poorly. We'll break it all down for you. We'll get into the quarterback situation with the Colt McCoy update and how the depth chart might look at 12:30 here on Grant and Danny. Last night, the NBA draft lottery went the way of the New Orleans Pelicans. And good for New Orleans, good for Pelicans fans. It's been a long several months for them. Your best player, your elite talent has won it out after a disappointing season that was supposed to have netted you way more wins and way more success. You had a 6% chance to hit the lottery, and you did it. And in fact, your chances were only that good because the balls bounced your way a few weeks ago in a tie-breaking scenario to get you higher than a 4% chance to win the lottery. So the Pelicans will pick first. They got the general manager, by the way, that I wanted the Wizards to get.
That's right.
From NBA TV, a guy that I've been watching a lot and thought, this is a pretty decent mind.
Sharp dude.
Is going to end up running a pretty solid NBA front office again in David Griffin. Here he was talking last night after they got the number 1 overall pick. The big question was, so Zion's probably coming to town. What does this mean for the Brow, Anthony Davis?
It's the same situation. We want to create an environment that players are attracted to. And we feel very strongly Anthony in totality will be attracted to what we can build and what we can offer. And it's the same for all players. We're gonna stand for something, and we hope that that recruits itself.
I wonder if Anthony Davis is still going to want out. The reports last night late, before I went to bed, someone apparently had gotten a hold of someone, quote-unquote, close to him, and he still wants to be traded. Well, we'll see. After you get Zion with the juice, the excitement, the energy in that building, one of his big gripes is people didn't care enough about basketball in New Orleans. That changed last night.
You would say, right? I mean, the excitement's palpable. And if I'm Davis, I could still be a little bit annoyed and miffed about that, saying, what else do I have to do? You weren't excited about me? You weren't excited about what we were doing? You weren't excited about how close we were? Not this past year where it just didn't look functional. But the year before, where Drew Holiday had his breakout, and we were, if it weren't for Golden State or Houston, we'd be one of the best teams in the West. Like, we were knocking on the door, man. And you're not excited now? But the other side of this is, you know, his agent, Rich Paul, is LeBron James' best buddy. And that's what the whole thing was about, was trying to negotiate some sort of forced trade to the Lakers, where the Pelicans, I think rightfully so, by the way, are going, we're not here to be your farm system. We're not here to be cannon fodder for you and get taken advantage of. This isn't, you know, Danny Ainge talking to Kevin McHale here. We're not godfathering you a deal that sets you up for life. No, thank you. We're here to do the best thing for our franchise. So hopefully they can convince Davis to stay, because I just want to see it. I want to see a Zion and Anthony Davis front court. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how functional it is. I know I'd have a good time watching it, though. I know I'd have some fun, at least for a short while.
I don't see many mock drafts where Coby White from North Carolina has fallen to the Wizards at 9. I think that would probably be my dream scenario. Oh,
there's no way, but I would love that.
I've seen a couple mocks where he goes 7 or 8, though, which is a few picks later than I would expect. Zion Williamson's going to go number 1. Mm-hmm. That goes without saying. And I think John Morant is a lock to go number 2. Look, the draft's going to start with the 4th pick, because R.J. Barrett's the 3rd guy off the board to the Knicks. They basically, by winning the 3rd pick last night, got R.J. Barrett.
That's not a terrible consolation prize. It's not Zion, but I like Barrett an awful lot.
He was supposed to be the number 1 overall pick going into the college season, and was the number 1 recruit for Duke and everybody else last year over Zion Williamson. The Lakers at number 4, my intrigue there is this. Do they keep that pick or do they trade it? Like, you could take DeAndre Hunter from UVA, let's say, or you could take, I don't know,
Culver
or Reddish or whoever you want to, if you want to get sexy at 4, but I think they flip that and they get LeBron some help this offseason.
You want to do business with LeBron James, you've got a window with LeBron. So that would be my instinct, is that they flip that pick for, you know, another veteran type piece, and not a Lance Stevenson type, but somebody that could help them. I still think they're going to be major players in free agency too. I think there's a sort of a way that they're going to try to partner up one last run before LeBron's wall hits. And it's coming sooner than we'd like to admit, by the way. He can no longer just flip the switch and turn it on and carry a team to the postseason, especially in the Western Conference. So I would bet they trade that pick if I had to put money down, but I bet you it's a coin toss proposition as to whether they keep it and get a guy like Hunter who you could throw into the lineup and won't demand the ball an awful lot and just tell him to go guard 2 different spots and knock down a couple open looks when LeBron hits you, but I'd bet they trade it.
If I had to make a guess at what the Wizards will do right now, and it just depends on how the draft falls, obviously, but I could see Jackson Hayes from Texas being the pick at number 9.
He's a really high upside guy who's right now a defensive center.
He's 18 years old. He's just shy of 7 foot and 220 pounds, and he moves like he's 6 inches shorter than that.
Reminds a lot of people, Jared Allen, the kid that the Wizards ended up losing the draft rights to by trading out, that's really helped the Brooklyn Nets. Athletic, rim runner, shot blocker with some offensive upside.
And so athletic. He had a great career as a pass rusher for the Vikings.
11 Chiefs. Sacks against the Redskins.
Yeah, he was always good against the Redskins. A 2-sports star. You know, they probably shouldn't have passed up on him, and a great sack celebration as well.
You wouldn't think, right?
It was a tough night, Wizards fans. We're sorry.
Just the worst.
We didn't mean to get your hopes up. Somebody tweeted me last night. Was like, I can't believe you guys talked about Zion all day. Well, no time like today.
He's the story.
We never get to do it again, so we might as well act for a few hours. Like, maybe the Wizards are going to get him. There was a 9% chance. What if they'd have gotten him? And by the way, by all accounts, they were close to having done so. They were literally, at one point, there were 2 teams left that could have gotten the number 1 pick, and it was the team that did and the Wizards.
And so instead of getting 2nd, which again, I'd be so thrilled with, they got 3rd. So thrilled. 9th. 96% chance that wouldn't happen, and it just casually happened.
And it did.
The amount of casualness with which
it
was so casual. The Wizards are unveiled. Oh, on to the next pick. Now we're going to find out where the Hawks jump to. Oh, kiss my white tuchus. So frustrating that it just went that way. Hopes of thousands of people that a turnaround was possible dashed instantly, and it was already on to the next thing. That assistant deputy commissioner for sadness, whatever the hell the guy's name was, just holding up the next little piece of poster board with the Hawks logo.
This is the part I don't get that you did this morning, too, though. Like, what was he supposed to do? Was he supposed to stop and acknowledge and go, oh, the poor Wizards and their fans? You know, you don't think every other fan base all around the country was mad when they saw their card come up?
I think you have missed the point of this. Nobody's telecast you can criticize for different reasons. I'm not saying I should have stopped the broadcast and apologized to me directly. I just want it known how instantaneously and how without ceremony. There's no, and the number 2 pick goes to the Wizards. It wasn't even that. It was casual hopes dashed. And the Hawks are number 8. It was that fast. It was an instant where belief was real and it was snatched and then shot in the chest with buckshot. That's what they did to me last night. And I'm sitting there just morbidly depressed watching the rest of it go. And the announcers are already on to the next thing. And, you know, the Suns, the Cavaliers, and the Dan Gilbert's kid again with his glasses. And Zion's there. It was just, it was this not even mentioned. It was just so brief and over and exasperating and sad and terrible and hopeless all at the same time.
So much Zion. And I expected it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody loves him. And it's why the ratings were up astronomically. And they'll crash back down. 70-some percent,
right?
They'll crash back down next year. I mean, nobody will watch again because Zion won't be there. But there were other players there.
Yeah.
You could have mentioned them at some point as well. I would have liked to have heard more about Ja Morant at some point.
Who's your favorite nod of the big three of Williamson, Morant, and Barrett? I'm not talking about fit, just saying who's your next favorite guy.
That's going to have a great career, probably Darius Garland. I like him a lot.
I like what I've read. I mean, the four games, then a knee injury thing scares the pants off you, but it's very Kyrie-esque.
But I think if not for that injury, he's the unquestioned number four pick in this draft. And I'll just assume with today's medicine and doctors that you heal, you get right, and you become yourself again. DeAndre Hunter, I loved his game in college. He wasn't an alpha like I wanted him to be.
Right. Championship game, he was great.
He was unbelievable.
Leading up to it, just a passenger.
In that game, he was great. But the rest of the time, I was watching going, this is him? Which one? Remind me which one again is the lottery pick?
Right.
I should never have to ask which one is the lottery pick.
Nice player. Wasn't anything wrong. Was helpful.
Defensive player of the year.
Was really good in conference, too, in some big games, et cetera. I understand all that. I know he's like the Otto Porter lottery pick, where the basketball heads will tell you how useful he is. The rubes are going to go, shouldn't he be able to knock down the open shot?
I want him to score 22 points.
Shouldn't he dominate some of these games?
He was exceptional in that championship game. And frankly, it's what gives me some hope. That
I mean,
he
kicked Culver's ass in the second half.
NBA
and Culver was good.
Absolutely.
And Hunter was amazing.
Grant and Danny on the fan. Colt McCoy is healthier than we thought he was. And he's going to be ready before we thought he might. Is he going to push Dwayne Haskins or will that be Case Keenum's job? Next on Grant and Danny.
It's almost pool time, you guys. It's almost hot enough to go to the pool. Memorial Day weekend is fast approaching. You got a pool body? You ready? Huh? I'm pretty much ready. I got the Speedo just in case I feel sexy that day, GP. Thanks to our friends at EMP180. Weight loss, lose the flab, keep the muscle, be healthier than you've been in years.
I could go the rest of my life and never hear about you in a Speedo again.
I got pictures.
But it's not as gross as it might have been in years past. Because of EMP180. Now all they got to do is help you shave and, you know, not be as gross and hairy.
Yeah, they can't make me handsome, but they can put me in shape.
They're not going to do that. EMP180 is incredible. They've helped me lose 70 pounds. My brother lose 90. My other brother lose 100, graduated the program. They got offices all over the area at this point. For a limited time only, first consultations are absolutely free. Financing is available. Get empowered by EMP180 today. With locations around the D.C. area, sure to be an EMP-180 weight loss near you at this point. Call them, 855-888-0180 for that free consultation, 855-888-0180, or go to EMP180.com. At 1 o'clock on Grant and Danny, Chris Miles of NBA TV on last night's draft lottery and the Wizards getting the ninth pick, not the first pick, but only eight picks after that, the ninth pick last evening.
First pick after the first eight.
12:55, we're going to be giving away Nats Cubs tickets to one of you. You got to be listening. If Colt McCoy is ready for training camp and he is on the field throughout camp, who is more likely to push Dwayne Haskins? Colt McCoy or Case Keenum? Keenum, better last season than McCoy unequivocally. He was a full-time starter. McCoy was a backup when he got on the field, looked okay early on in that Dallas game, eventually threw three picks. Next thing you knew, had broke his leg early on against the Eagles. Therein lies the big problem, really two of them. One, turnovers constantly. They're going to be there. He's going to throw picks. He's going to fumble the football. He's going to get sacked a lot.
Very dependably.
Second, he's going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know that going in, but could he give you more? Could he get more out of Josh Doctson and Paul Richardson? The guys he's had rapports with, particularly Doctson, when he's been on the field and been involved in the Redskins offense between the white lines, their numbers have gone up because he knows the playbook. He gets the ball out. He gets through his progressions very quickly. It stands to reason that a guy like McCoy is going to be able to operate whatever you want if you're Jay Gruden better than Case Keenum in the first five games of the season.
Because he's been in it for years, right?
And if we're really saying, Danny, that Dwayne Haskins is probably going to be on the field after four or five games anyway, and you're only doing this for the first month or so of the year, there's a great case to make that Colt McCoy would be the better option than Case Keenum. Think about, like, Donovan McNabb. I was talking to Santana Moss about this recently, unrelated to Case Keenum. But he was referencing how when Donovan McNabb was the Redskins quarterback, even late in that year before he got benched with three games to go, he had a really hard time spitting out the plays in the Redskins huddle. This is a veteran who'd been in five NFC championship games.
Right, it's a different language.
Different language, right? Different offense. And he said he just didn't master the playbook. He would say things incorrectly where he, and I think the receiver he referenced was Joey Galloway. Him and Joey Galloway would break the huddle and they'd go, hey, so he means this. So you go over there, I'll go over here. And he'd say, we would just get lined up in time and we'd be trying to tell each other where to go because he had told us the wrong thing.
Wow.
To the point where Kyle Shanahan would come over and yell, Santana, what the bleep's going on? He would say, look, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, but that's not on us, man. And this was, again, a seasoned veteran in McNabb who had been around for years and years and years. If that's what's going on with him late into his one season in Washington, do you really think Case Keenum's going to have everything grasped perfectly right away? Maybe McCoy should be the guy to get that first opportunity. And if they compete, maybe he could beat out Keenum based on looking okay.
So you never know. I mean, you never know how the aptitude of guys, how quickly they can go from studying to field application. I mean, there have been countless guys that are great in the classroom, but then when people are running, they still can't make the throws, right? They can diagram it on the board really well, but, you know, where the rubber meets the road is the marriage of those two things. So it would stand to reason that, well, let me rephrase. What is this about? Is this about keeping the seat warm until Dwayne Haskins is ready to go?
Correct.
Or is this about winning as many football games as possible for as long as possible and Dwayne Haskins' development is secondary? Now, I'm hoping it's not the case,
both.
But let's say that.
I think they'll tell you they're doing all those things at once. They're going to try to win as many games as possible, push back Haskins' chance to start until he is quote-unquote ready, and that's probably going to be 3 to 5 games.
Because I've got three columns then. Who's better for the first sake of argument? 4 games of the season of those three guys. McCoy, to me.
Over Keenum. Even though Keenum's a better quarterback.
Who's better over 16 weeks? Keenum.
Right.
Right? Who's better long-term? Haskins. So the answer for all three guys is different in what they want. What do I care about is the third column. I need Haskins to be as great as possible. However we get there, let's do that.
I would go as far as to say, no disrespect to these guys, but in terms of the long-term Redskins thinking, Keenum and McCoy at this point are irrelevant.
They're completely irrelevant. So, but I'm saying I'd rather give Keenum, if I'm going to give him 16 weeks, and I'm not, but say that I am, I'm going to say, Haskins, you get a Pat Mahomes redshirt year. Sit and take notes. If I want to win as many games as possible in the 2019 season, I'm going with Case Keenum for 16 weeks. Letting him struggle early, knowing that it'll pay off for me in November, December. If I just care about winning, going 2-2 through the first four before turning it over somewhere else, I'd probably go McCoy.
Yeah, then you traded for Case Keenum, and really for what reason? I guess you could say as a safety valve, as a safety net, as the insurance for McCoy because he had broken his leg and you weren't sure.
And you didn't know if you were getting Haskins. You didn't know.
You didn't know yet. That's a good point. And so you needed somebody. I think the one case for Colt McCoy would be how well he knows the offense and the fact that you know he's going to find the open receiver and get him the football in week one against the Eagles. You can make the case pretty easily. He'll give my offense the best chance to operate the way I want it to in that first game. If I'm calling the shots,
Grant Gruden.
Grant Gruden wants one of the two veterans to start 5 games or so. And it's not like a hard and fast thing. I'm going to evaluate it as we go.
Yeah.
But my master plan would be get me through the first month or so. Give Dwayne Haskins an extra 6 or so weeks to grasp things, learn things, see the game played on the sideline level, see the chaos on the sideline, see how you deal with getting sacked and, you know, not throwing the ball, and all the little things I want him to pick up over those first few weeks against really difficult opponents. And then I'm going to him. So the question just becomes, is it Keenum or is it McCoy? Who's better? I think McCoy more likely helps me right away. I just don't think that much of Keenum anyway. I think him and McCoy are actually really similar, to be completely honest with you. The difference being one of them's been here a while, the other one hasn't. Now, if Case Keenum reverts back to his Minnesota form, and I don't mean where he was good, but rather just where he protected the football, that's one thing. But he threw 15 picks, and a lot of those were terrible interceptions last year. He fumbled 11 times. Somehow he only lost two. That'll never happen again. He was desperate to turn the ball over last year. I could have Colt McCoy, knowing my offense, desperate to turn the ball over. But they did bring him in for a reason, and they did last year go get another quarterback for a reason. We had J.P. Finley on the show earlier from NBC Sports Washington. Here's what J.P. said when we asked him, who is more likely to push Haskins, Keenum or McCoy?
2 years in a row, the Redskins organization has had the opportunity to go forward with Colt McCoy as their starter. Two seasons ago, they traded for Alex Smith. This past year, they traded for Case Keenum. Maybe they traded for Case because they knew there were complications with Colt's leg. If you kind of look back at that timeline, it would make sense. Regardless, 2 years in a row, the team could have rolled with Colt and didn't. So based on that, I would expect it to be Keenum. I think the organization has a belief that Colt McCoy is the best backup quarterback in the business, but not necessarily the guy you want to roll out there week one.
J.P. Finley, as heard earlier today on Grant and Danny. Let's open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines for you next at 800-636-1067. If we're determining that one of these two guys will separate himself and push Haskins, and let's say one of them ends up being the starter, and it isn't Haskins to begin the year, who should it be? Who will it be? Case Keenum or Colt McCoy? We're doing this today because it sounds like McCoy's actually making a better recovery after this last procedure than some thought, and he should be ready for opening day of training camp. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Chris Miles is on the show at 1. 10 minutes from now, your chance to win Nats tickets. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. The Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines are open at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. If indeed Colt McCoy, who reports yesterday from Adam Schefter were, is back at Redskins Park, will be a part of at least some portion of mini camps, and will be a full participant day one at training camp, is healthy enough to compete with Case Keenum, could he actually be the guy, not Keenum, to start in week one if the Redskins decide to wait on Dwayne Haskins?
So let me throw this at you. And what's going to happen is you're going to reject it. But this is the old forward-thinking Danny Ruye. Football genius, savant talking here. Doing things the way they've never done them in the NFL. I'm going to think about it this way. Which one of these two guys in the non-future of my franchise quarterback portion of the room? Weird phrasing just to say.
I don't know what you just
said. Keenum and McCoy. That was just a weird turn of a phrase. Bear with me.
Okay.
Between Keenum and McCoy, who could do the best with limited reps? Who could do the best with limited practice time?
McCoy.
And it's McCoy. Because every first team rep that I can spare, 90% of them probably, is going to Dwayne Haskins. Because I don't give a damn about the performance of Colt McCoy or Case Keenum. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that Dwayne Haskins is up to speed for the long term. Let him struggle, but we'll do it in practice. And I'll sit him for weeks and weeks and weeks, and it might frustrate teammates. That's not fair to the veterans. It's the NFL. Nothing about fairness is included. Nothing is fair when you draft the rookie quarterback who is the future of the franchise. With all due respect to the 32-year-olds, tough nuggets, man. Go do something else.
You're right. It is not fair.
It's not fair. Fairness should never enter the equation. Joy is what we're trying to strive for here. We're trying to strive for greatness. This is how we get great. This kid gets great. And we'll figure the rest of it out. A lot of you won't be included in that. Sorry about your luck. You'll be able to get another
That'll
job.
That'll go over well in your locker room. I think you'd have a great locker room.
Well, I'm not giving that pregame speech. I'm just evaluating that way. So the point of the dude's story is, because I'm giving so many reps to Dwayne Haskins so often, because so much of my attention is on Dwayne Haskins so often, I'll say, hey, guy that's been in for short samples and thrived, frankly, as a backup, Colt McCoy has. He's had great moments as a backup. He's also terrible moments. That's why he's a backup. But I'm going to say, you can do this better with Cliff Notes for practice because you've been in my system for a while and you know the drill. Get three throws at the end of this practice session. Get two red zone chances, and we'll do a two-minute drill with you after we do 10 with Dwayne, and then everybody hits the showers. Colt, you got the first four games. Go.
I like it. I get it. You know, I'm not doing the he gets all the first team reps thing that you're doing. I'm going to be more traditional with preparing all my guys because they're going to have to play, presumably, unless I just decide, and maybe they're going to. Dwayne Haskins is my starter. Then he gets all the first-team reps. Until then, if there's a competition, or if Keenum or McCoy is likely to be the starter for the first game, because again, if I was Jay Gruden, I will have already decided right now, this moment at Redskins Park, as I'm sitting in my office, Dwayne Haskins is not my starter in week one. I'm not asking him to get ready for week one. I'm not putting that pressure on him. I think there's a lot that he can learn and gain from watching a few games as a backup. Oh, by the way, it'll benefit him because I'm going to protect him from the most arduous part of our schedule where we're losing with him on the field or without him anyway. Now, JP was on our show earlier today, and he's like, I don't really buy that logic. If you're a quarterback in the NFL, you got to deal with the best teams and the tests. True.
Eventually you do.
You don't need to do that in your first three games as an NFL quarterback at all.
The David Carr, Joey Harrington syndrome is what scares me here, right? A team that's not very good, where the guy gets beaten all to hell and is never right. I mean, Patrick Ramsey still probably can't merge into traffic wherever he's driving because he sees ghosts of people that have hit him. He's probably just sitting there with his turn signal on, waiting for the highway to be clear until 2 o'clock in the morning because of how many times Steve Spurrier got his butt hit. I worry about that part of it. Not about the, if a guy can't deal with failure, you can't play in the NFL. Right? You can't play pro sports if you can't deal with failure.
Yeah, but I don't think I don't think anybody thinks Dwayne Haskins is going to have a few bad games, crawl into the fetal position, start crying in the corner of the locker room and saying, I can't do this. It's a matter of setting someone up for success.
Mm-hmm.
When you throw someone into the pool, have you taught him how to swim or not? I mean, you're throwing him into the deep end, you're going, he'll be fine. Let's set him up to succeed, to get to the corner of the pool and to grab onto the wall. I would like for him to have something positive to build on initially. And I think that the best chance to do that is to play him a handful of weeks into the season. So it comes back to Keenum versus McCoy, and that's where my wide-open competition happens. You guys are splitting half of the first-team reps, probably. You're both getting 25%. Haskins is getting half of them because he needs them. And then you guys are getting 25% to work with, and the other 25% of the time is getting a second-team rep. That's how I'm operating this thing. And whoever does better, not just at practice, but in preseason games, is going to be the starter. I'll have a wide-open, honest competition. Now, I believe that Colt McCoy would win that just because he knows the offense so well, and if he doesn't, it's so a big familiar, problem for right? him. But if they're even, dead even, the tiebreaker for me would probably be Colt's familiarity with the offense.
Arpel Dominic in Ohio tweeted us this. Grant's at Grant H. Paulson. I'm at Funny Danny. I could see this as well. Now, this is all Colt McCoy health dependent, okay? But Keenum didn't cost you very much. As quarterbacks kind of come and go, the carousel occurs. Maybe there's an injury. Maybe somebody slips on a banana peel. Maybe you get a Deshaun Watson, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, non-contact drop back injury for somebody, etc. Right? Case Keenum then is a potential trade candidate because the cost is so low. You could replenish a mid-round pick for the following seasons, and Colt McCoy is your backup because that's what he's put on this earth to do, is be a backup in Jay Gruden's system. Could you see one of those guys getting spun?
I can't see Keenum getting spun, only because McCoy's not durable enough, and you're risking it being Haskins.
Because it's
or
about
bust.
McCoy's health.
Also, at that point, you're almost forcing your hand on Dwayne Haskins. The whole reason I think that, we read the Albert Breer piece in SI, and Albert Breer said that they traded for Keenum because Jay Gruden did not want to be in a situation where they had to draft a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, I don't think he wants to be in a position where they have to play a quarterback.
I think that's fair.
That's why they have Keenum.
The scenario I could see that is if you get a Carson Wentz situation, where they brought in Sam Bradford to be the guy. Well, Carson Wentz was actually really good. So they said, hey, Sam, let's pack your stuff. You're going to Minnesota. Goodbye. And they ended up with a great profit for it. Now, you're not getting a first-round pick the way that Philadelphia did, obviously. But
they didn't
you could
do
get
that before he ever played a game, though. He'd been there. They evaluated him. They'd seen him. He'd been there for a full season.
I thought it was before Wentz ever played a down. They named him
I'm talking
starter.
About Sam Bradford, the veteran in the example.
But I'm saying, so they brought they
Wentz,
had Bradford
they took
in.
Second overall. I mean, they kind of knew what they were doing when they drafted him.
Sure. I don't know that they knew that he was going to play right away like that, and they had
when
confidence
they took him second overall,
to get rid of a veteran.
They traded everything they did to go up to get him?
Yeah. You didn't think they knew he was going to play right away, and they're going to trade Sam Bradford?
I'm
going to give
them
credit
sure they
for
thought that.
That. Okay.
They traded everything to go up to number two to get him.
Yes.
I think they definitely thought they were going to play him. For sure.
Okay, well, I'm giving him credit for a really smart move to spin Bradford, and he wowed them with how great he was. The same way that Seattle had a great plan to not play Russell Wilson right away,
When the Redskins traded a bunch of stuff up to number two to go get Robert Griffin, do you think they planned on playing him?
Yes, I do, because they didn't have anybody. Philadelphia had Sam Bradford,
but even if they did, you don't make that move. If you draft a guy at number two without moving around the board, Marcus Mariota, you play that guy immediately. When you move stuff to get that guy, it doesn't matter who your quarterback is. They're not your quarterback anymore, or else you wouldn't have done that. You wouldn't have gone up and gotten him if you thought Sam Bradford was going to start for you again. They'd made their decision after that previous year when I think they went 500 or something like that.
Yeah, whatever it was.
That they decided, this guy ain't it. But Wentz, he's the dude. Let's go get him. And they went and got him. But I'm trying to, what was even the relation to the Redskins?
Well, Haskins wows and he's really good, then you just go, yeah, we don't care.
We don't
about
need
the veteran.
Keenum.
We don't need Keenum anymore.
But then you have no other option or net. I guess if McCoy stayed healthy, you would. But when's that going to happen?
Yeah, that hasn't happened.
You are yet. Colt McCoy playing a series away from Dwayne Haskins being your only quarterback at that point. I just don't think they want to be there. Them trading Keenum is not the craziest thing I've ever heard. I don't think it's going to happen or would happen. It's not insane.
Because it's McCoy health dependent, and that's not,
I don't know that the comp with the Eagles makes sense, but the point that they could trade Case Keenum, not crazy to me. If they had a durable backup, and that is not what Colt McCoy is, it would make a lot more sense. If you had two guys that are probably going to stay healthy and be good backups, that's one thing. You are begging for it's Dwayne Haskins against the world at that point.
Well, this is just another case where Chris Russell's proven right that not having Nate Sudfeld has ruined everything.
If only they had Sudfeld.
If they had Nate Sudfeld, that you have no problems here.
Super Bowl or bust. Chris Miles on the Wizards getting the ninth pick next on Grant and Danny. And right now is promised your chance to win two Nats tickets. Danny's got a question for you to see them play the Cubs May 19th at Nats Park. 106.7 The Fan and PenFed Credit Union will take you out to the ballgame all season long, courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. Details at thefandc.com/contests every day, 12:55. Make sure you're listening.
The Nationals are 16-25 as of right now. How many games behind the Philadelphia Phillies are there? How many games behind the Phillies are the Washington Nationals as of right now? Not that cool of a number. 800-636-1067. Tell Brennan that you'll win those tickets. It is Grant Danny for Window Nation. It's graduation time, not just for schools, but it's time for your home to graduate. Up to new energy efficient windows, that is, from Window Nation. And as a graduation gift, all window styles are 50% off. You choose bays, bows, double hung, wood, vinyl, any size, any color, all custom made, and all at 50% off. Window Nation's massive buying power is a diploma in deals, and they'll pass the savings on to you.
It gets even better, Danny. Make no down payment. Make no payments. Pay no interest for one full year. If you call Window Nation this week, you're taking half off every window, plus you're getting free, yes, free blinds with the purchase of a house of windows. New windows save energy, improve the look and value of your home, and you can do it now for 50% off with no down payment, payments, or interest for 12 months plus those free blinds. Call Window Nation today for a free at-home estimate. I did it. Danny did it. Then we got windows and doors in our homes. They can come out the next day. Going to provide you a quote valid for a full year at that time. School year's about to end. So's this deal. 866-90-NATION. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.